Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Finding the right technology partners to help financial institutions innovate and modernize their offerings requires much more than the latest and greatest tool sets and features. It necessitates trust. And you can't have trust without 100% transparency into the data, the processes, and strategies that enable partnership with your third-party vendor to problem solve, to innovate, and to do what's best for your business and its customers. Joining me today, we're going to delve deeper into this topic. We have Matt Riley, SVP of Fraud and Bill Pay Operations at BillGo, and James Wester, Director of Cryptocurrency and Co-Head of Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to delve into how to identify red flags when seeking third-party vendors, why full transparency is critical for FIs, and they're going to offer real-world examples of how 100% transparency can improve fraud mitigation and operational efficiencies. Matt, to start things off, finding the right technology partner is something that's top of mind for many financial institutions, but finding the right fit is often easier said than done. What are some red flags financial institutions need to look out for when seeking third-party vendors? And to go a step further, how can they identify them?
Awesome. Thank you for the question. Many financial institutions are going to receive proposals from third-party vendors. Some of the red flags that I used to receive quite frequently in former lives working with large top 10 financial institutions is you're going to hear stories such as here's how many transactions we process or transactions per second, your TPS rates, other success stories. And what you need to ask yourself and what you need to have the hard conversation with these vendors is that's great what they're advertising for other portfolios, but what are they going to do for your portfolio? And how transparent are they going to be with you on the performance of your specific portfolio and how they are managing your portfolio?
Yeah, and that is, I think, a key point that really resonates in terms of the research that we're doing as well when it comes to vendor management, that idea of, you know, the cookie cutter model versus what a vendor's actually providing that are either more personalized or actually being a partner and knowing what a financial institution is really looking for. And that takes time. It takes effort. And that's why there are often times why vendors don't necessarily want to do that because it is time consuming. But I think it's absolutely something from a vendor management standpoint that is crucial.
I'm sure that we can all agree that trust is key when working with third-party vendors. To that extent, financial institutions are looking for 100% transparency into the data, the processes, and strategies that they work on with their third-party vendors to problem solve. Matt, can you speak to what full transparency actually is and also what it's not?
Yeah, great question. And there is a large discrepancy between what transparency is and what it's not. Most of your vendors, especially your fraud prevention vendors, they're going to talk about their black box solution. They're going to present it as their IP or their intellectual property as to how they manage your portfolio for you. And they're going to want to give you some of the common fraud statistics, you know, come month end, quarter end, year end for those reviews, whatever their cadence may be. For example, they're going to talk about your detection rate. They're going to talk about your alert rate or your incident rate for your FTE overhead. That's fine, but that's not good enough. You need to find a partner that is going to have full transparency with you. Let me give you a couple tangible examples. So here at BillGo, we provide each configurable item inside of your rules. If you're running a rules-based environment or if you're running a model, you're going to know exactly the model that's running on your behalf, the rules that are running on your behalf, the configuration thereof, and you're going to have performance data that speaks to every rule and or every model on a daily frequency. So you're going to have the same level of knowledge and insights with BillGo as your third-party vendor that you would inside of your own organization. I would potentially even challenge that you may not have that level of data and insight inside your own large financial institution. But that's what you deserve and that's what you should expect is that level of transparency so that you are actively monitoring your environment to create the best customer experience on behalf of your consumer and ultimately the end customer.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things that totally matches with what we're seeing from financial institutions on the research. You know, when you're looking for vendors, it's a very competitive space. right now, financial institutions are trying to find every possible advantage they can to be competitive in that competitive market. And I think one of the things that's really important is if you're working with vendors that are basically kind of providing, again, that either cookie cutter or exact same solution across financial institutions, it's really not helping the financial institution separate themselves. In other words, what's that difference between what they're providing and what other institutions are providing, and looking at it from that consumer, that end user consumer standpoint, why are they actually working with a particular bank or with a financial institution? And so knowing that your vendor is going to help you with that. In other words, they're not going to provide the same solution they may be selling to your competitors, honestly, knowing that they're going to be coming in and working with you, whether it's on modeling or fraud solution or basically any of those things that you're trying to find a vendor do. I think that's a really important idea. And I know that it's something that financial institutions are really caring about right now.
We touched a lot on terms of like what full transparency looks like. For those that are also listening in, like what does a lack of transparency look like for them? Does it cause any challenges?
Yeah, it absolutely causes challenges. To me, what a lack of transparency looks like is when you get that monthly report, quarterly report that says, here's the performance. Another tangible example in the fraud space is if you've detected a new fraud pattern, many vendors that have a black box solution, you can tell them, hey, here's the new pattern I've detected. And the response you're going to receive from their subject matter experts is basically, we've taken that under advisement. Or, you know, that's part of our solution. Can't get into the details because of our intellectual property, the IP, but it's taken into consideration. You, as a financial institution, deserve better, and you need to know and understand the performance of how these particular fraud patterns are impacting your portfolio. You should be able to see those results without asking for them, and you should be able to see what is impacting your alert rate and or your detection rate for specific scenarios. I'll use bill pay as an example. You know, historically, in bill pay fraud, your account takeover, your ATO situation is the majority of that activity. However, in recent times, that is starting to transition where ATO is not like 80% of the fraud. I'll say it's more like 50 or 60% where you're first party fraud and you've got other fraud types that are creeping in, and you've got to pick a vendor that is going to be fully transparent with you and show you what it is they're doing to protect you, to protect your bottom line, and to protect your customer experience.
And I think it's almost surprising to me that, you know, that a vendor wouldn't immediately say, yeah, that transparency. I mean, I understand the idea of intellectual property, or, you know, we have you hear vendors talk about their quote unquote, their secret sauce all the time. And it's like, well, why do you have a sauce that's secret, especially when you're talking about things like protecting customers or fraud or security or any of the things that go into the costs that a financial institution has to bear to protect their customers? I mean, sometimes I have to take off my analyst hat and put my consumer hat on and say, why would you do that? It is better for all of us as consumers of financial institutions to know that fraud patterns are being shared, that they are being looked into, that they are being looked at from a vendor standpoint to protect those consumers. So yeah, it does surprise me sometimes when I hear about vendors that are less than transparent. Again, that idea that they have a quote unquote secret sauce that they don't want to share. It's like, especially in an area like fraud and security or risk or compliance or something like that. To me, the question is always, why wouldn't you want to share that? Why wouldn't you want to be completely transparent?
And, you know, James, that brings up a great point. I, in a former life, working at those large financial institutions and managing various fraud vendors, it always struck me as amusing when they talk about secret sauce, they talk about black box, when you want to discuss, you know, fraud patterns, fraud trends, and the basic response when you have inquiries around these recent pattern and trends is, yeah, we know we've got it as part of the solution. They don't want to get into the details. They don't want to show the specific performance. However, most of them are hosting user groups, pulling their clients together into a consortium setup where you're socializing these fraud patterns and fraud trends so you can all better understand things. So one side of the mouth, they're saying, yeah, let's all get together and discuss and make sure that we're abreast of all of the latest and greatest fraud patterns. But the other side of their mouth, they don't want to specifically speak to how their tool is identifying said activity and how it's performing in regard to said activity. So that always struck me as interesting, and as a recipient client appeared to me as just straight sandbagging, that they didn't want to lift up the covers and show what the performance actually was.
And I mean, and the other thing too right now, and this is something that we're seeing across pretty much across all financial services, is bad guys, bad actors are getting better and better. They're smarter and smarter. They are changing their patterns. They're doing all sorts of things to either find exploits or, you know, basically do the stuff that bad actors want to do. And so the idea that not being completely transparent, not working with your partners to say, hey, here are the things we're seeing, to me, that just seems it borders on irresponsible. I mean, that is something that, again, taking off the analyst hat and putting the consumer hat on and knowing what's going on in the business, to me, that's the kind of thing where you would like to think that vendors are behaving in this particular environment in a way that protects all consumers. And the way they're going to do that is, again, through that transparency with the financial institutions they're working with.
To that point, Matt, why is flexibility, agility, and once again, that full transparency, why is it critical for innovation and improvement? I know you touched upon this a little bit, but to kind of further expand.
Yeah, of course. It's imperative for a financial institution to pick a third-party vendor that's going to have that full transparency. Again, you need to be managing your customer experience and, quite frankly, protecting your shareholders' investments in you as an institution. You know, thinking back to my prior example of, if you're working with a cookie cutter that talks black box, secret sauce, and gives you a report once a month or once a quarter, I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, if you're the type of financial institution that is looking at, reviewing, and analyzing every loss that you're taking, you're going to detect patterns and loss types that you're seeing these fraud vendors they're missing. The tool is not detecting that activity on the front end. And if you have a new fraud pattern, if it takes you days or weeks or months for your vendor to listen to you and to deploy a solution that specifically addresses your attack vector, then that's not good enough. That's not good enough for your consumer. That's not good enough for your shareholders. Furthermore, in more of an operational overhead, if you will, if you're working with a vendor that has full transparency and is explaining on a daily basis, here's the performance of each one of your models, here's the performance and configuration of every one of your rules and how it is protecting your portfolio, it makes your conversation with the regulatory authorities a whole lot easier, because what you have done is provided, again, that data and that knowledge back to the financial institution, and it makes an easier conversation. And spending the majority of my professional career working in the financial industry, it takes a lot of resources to manage and maintain compliance here within the United States. And you need to be working with a vendor that is empowering you to have an easier conversation and spending less time on your particular solution.
Yeah, that is a topic that we hear more and more about from both the vendor and the financial institution side, and that's compliance. Risk and compliance have now become much more important topics that we have in almost every single briefing. There, it will touch on compliance. And I think we all know that regulatory oversight, compliance, risk are all topics. They're not going to get any easier. They're not going to become, you know, we are seeing things happen in the payment space, especially as we begin to see developments in things like A2A or P2P payments or all of these new payment types that we're seeing come out. We're seeing more regulatory scrutiny, and I think we all know that's going to be the case. So I would think that anything that would make those discussions easier would be a good thing, because, again, it's not going to become simpler or faster. There is only going to be more regulatory oversight, more compliance costs, and more issues that FIs are going to have to deal with along those lines.
You gave a few real-world examples already in terms of how 100% transparency will really improve fraud mitigation and operational efficiencies. Curious if you have any more in your wheelhouse that you can share with the audience in terms of, you know, what you're seeing and the impact this can really have on the space.
Yes, let me give you a couple examples of how 100% transparency is going to improve your mitigation and operational efficiencies. If you're working with a vendor, per my previous examples, that's giving you weekly, monthly, quarterly reporting, then their response time is going to be in alignment with that same cadence. I've got an example here with one of our clients where a new fraud pattern had been detected on the financial institution side. Thankfully, it had not yet penetrated its way into bill pay. However, the experience was shared with us, and we were able to test and ultimately move our model up through our production environment and have it deployed on this particular client's behalf in just under 6 hours. And so for any of those out there listening today that are managing fraud vendors, I know when I was detecting new fraud patterns in former workplaces, that response time was usually measured in months, if not quarters. And you deserve to be working with a vendor that is going to be more responsive to protect you. In this instance, to be able to build up your identification of the activity before a particular product line is experiencing said activity.
I love the idea of, you know, trying to address those issues quickly. Again, and it's both as an analyst, as a customer, as an observer of what's going on in financial institutions, the idea that you would be able to recognize those patterns and get those, basically get a fix in place that quickly. You know, the other thing is thinking about not doing that quickly is actually almost kind of alarming that it's allowed to go on for as long as it does. Because it's not just a cost to the financial institution, but you have to think about it from that consumer standpoint, from that end user standpoint, the cost that and the inconvenience and everything else that goes into that.
Amazing point. Let me give you an additional vantage point on basically the same topic. So I've now had numerous vendors that a couple things to note. Number one, because of the full transparency, they are bringing their fraud patterns and trends to us as fast, if not faster, than they're sharing internally, because they know we're going to get a solution deployed very quickly. Second point along that same theme, I've had numerous clients that have now come back and shared that essentially they haven't used us by name, but they have used us within their third-party risk management section of the FI to work with other vendors to say, hey, I'm currently working with a fraud protection vendor that had this new pattern that we identified deployed and in production in less than a day, in less than one business day. And hey, vendor X, I just gave you a similar fraud MO and you deployed it within 3 weeks. Do better, right? You need to be more reactive. You need to be more responsive because ultimately we've got to protect the end consumer and create a better customer experience all around. And so to everybody listening out there, you need to be working with a vendor that is acting on your behalf and has that full transparency that you can build that relationship to ultimately protect your customer and your shareholder.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.